as part of the Yellow Jacket Tournament at Billings, Montana. The tip-off is at 4:15 p.m., now the second half. Here are the current men's soccer standings in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference on NCAA Division II. Western Oregon, who clinched as the GNAC regular season champion, is first at 27 points, 9-2 conference, 13-3-1 overall. Western Oregon, second, 8-3-1, 25 points, 10-5-3 overall. Montana State Billings, third, 5-3-3 conference, 18 points, 6-5-6 overall. 3 points are awarded for a conference record win. 3 points are awarded for a conference win, with 1 point for a conference tie. If I didn't mention, Western Oregon clinched first as the GNAC regular season champion at 9-2 conference, 27 points, 13-3-1 overall, in case I didn't mention the overall record. Now back to the standings of men's soccer within GNAC. Northwest Nazarene, fourth, 4-4-3, 15 points, 5-8-4 overall. For some reason, Seattle Pacific is also 4-4-3, 15 points. Has a better overall record, 7-6-4, but is listed on the fifth column, so there might be an error here. Simon Fraser is 6-4-7, 12 points, 5-10-2 overall. And St. Martin's is last at 0-11 conference, 0-11 overall.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Here are the women's volleyball standings within the Great Northwest Athletic Conference on NCAA Division II. Simon Fraser is first at 13-2 conference, 17-5 overall. Central Washington is second, 13-2 conference, 15-6 overall. Alaska Fairbanks, 10-5 conference, 18-7 overall. Western Washington, fourth, 10-5 conference, 11-10 overall. Alaska Anchorage, 8-7 conference, fifth, 14-11 overall. Seattle Pacific, 6-8-8 conference, 8-16 overall. Western Oregon, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th, 7-8 conference, 15-9 overall. Northwest Nazarene, 8th, 4-11 conference, 7-16 overall. St. Martin's, 9th, 3-12 conference, 5-18 overall for 9th. And Montana State Billings is last at 0-16. With a 7-19 overall record.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
First music in the second half is the third act of the hour, Charles Gale, Milford Graves, and William Parker's Webbo. Here is Webbo 9. We'll be right back. That was Web 09 from Charles Gale, Milford Graves, and William Parker's Webo. Now I'd like to feature the SFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. On November 9th, the non-conference Red Leafs finished their latest New York State road trip as they visited the Plattsburgh State Cardinals. Excuse me. On NCAA Division III team, which is also the alma mater of Mark Coletta, the SFU non-conference Red Leafs head coach at Ronald B. Stafford Arena in Plattsburgh, New York. SFU got a power play opportunity 8:22 into the game when Plattsburgh's Jack Ring was called for holding and Red Leaf Lucas Ceccarelli scored on Cardinal Jacob Hearn 15 seconds later at 8:37 of the first. However, Plattsburgh tied a game less than 4 minutes later as William Jasmine eluded SFU's Gabe Gratton at 12:10. But the Red Leafs regained a one-goal lead with 11 seconds left in the first as Lucas Ceccarelli scored his second of the period on Cardinal Jacob Hearn as SFU ended period one with a 2-1 lead and tied Plattsburgh with 9 shots on goal each. However, Lucas Ceccarelli was called for interference 2:51 into the second, which ended the Red Leafs' second power play at 91 seconds, and Cardinals made good on their first man advantage opportunity as Brody Spencer Haugh eluded Gabe Gratton at 3:58. SFU went up once again 91 seconds later as Holden Cardinal beat Plattsburgh's Jacob Hearn at 5:29. The Cardinals tied the game at 3, 9:52 into the second on a Jake Lonnie Talley and took a 4-3 lead when Jake Socratini scored on Red Leaf Gabe Gratton with 3:11 left in the second. As Plattsburgh ended period 2 up 4-3 on SFU, outshooting the visitors 14-5. The hosts opened up a 2-goal lead 3:06 into the third as Cardinal Kevin Weber eluded Red Leaf Gabe Gratton. But SFU cut the lead to 1-4. But SFU cut the lead to 1-4-12 later as Jason Chu scored on Plattsburgh's Jacob Hearn at 7:18 of the third. The Red Leafs tied a game at 5, 2:21 later as Ben Ward eluded Jacob Hearn. With overtime looming, Cardinal Aaron Carton scored on Gabe Gratton with 90 seconds left in regulation as Plattsburgh held on for a 6-5 win over SFU, where the Cardinals outshot the Red Leafs 36-22, as Gabe Gratton made 30 saves for SFU, while Jacob Hearn stopped 17 shots for Plattsburgh as the Cardinals scored 2 power play goals on 8 opportunities, and the Red Leafs scored once in 2 man advantages at Ronald B. Stafford Arena in Plattsburgh, New York. Tonight sees the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs in action as they visit the Logan Lake Miners. The puck drop at Logan Lake Recreation Center is at 7 p.m.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Here are the current BCIHL standings. 2 points are awarded for a win with 1 point for an OTL or a shootout loss, I think. University of Victoria is first at 6-0-1, 13 points. Vancouver Island University, second, 4-0-1, 9 points. Simon Fraser is third at 3-2, 6 points. The Logan Lake Miners are fourth at 2-4-1, 5 points. And the Okanagan Lakers are last at 1-5-2, 4 points.
Volunteering at CGSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CGSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures, public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It had been the most polarizing topic in Surrey for the last 6 years. The then mayor, Doug McCallum, pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15th, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke's fight did not end right away, as her two petitions against the BC NDP government for a judicial review on being forced to continue with the SPS was rejected on May 23, 2024, followed by her acceptance of the court's decision on June 10th, and culminated by an agreement between the BC NDP government and Surrey City on July 10th, according to a BC government news release. Surrey will receive $30 million a year to 2029, when a financial guarantee of up to $20 million, if the SPS salaries are higher than the RCMP, may kick in and continue until 2034, for a total of up to $250 million. Surrey will fully support the transition to the SPS and not impose a police tax in the next decade. In addition, according to the BC government news release, the SPB budget, originally requested at $141.5 million, fits within Surrey's financial budget and will hire 526 officers by the end of 2024, 67% of all Surrey police officers. All of this week's developments were from Twitter. On November 11th, when the SPS attended a Remembrance Day ceremony, according to Ashley Joannou of the Canadian Press, no deal has been reached between the SPS and RCMP on splitting the responsibilities, to which the SPS chief, Norm Lipinski, expected a deal to be signed within a matter of days. With 455 officers for the SPS, as it will police certain areas of Surrey, while the RCMP police other areas. However, Brian Sobey, the president for the National Police Federation, the RCMP union, mentioned that his RCMP members are anxious without clearly knowing what their responsibilities will look like as the SPS takes over as Surrey's police jurisdiction on November 29th, and suggested pushing back the date for to give both sides more time. On November 12th, the SPS promoted that it will become Surrey's police jurisdiction for at least the second time this month on Twitter. Later on, Ian McDonald, the SPS spokesperson, talked to Jill Bennett of CKNW, clarified that the SPS will have frontline policing concentrated in Newton, District 1, and Wally, District 3, with the RCMP providing frontline policing in other districts 2, 4, and 5, but will provide other policing services to other areas of Surrey when being called upon. That is the SPS. Currently, the SPS officers deployed are under the command of the Surrey RCMP, but from November 29th, the Surrey RCMP will have no municipal police agreement, so the RCMP will be in a supporting role to the SPS and answer to the province, as the BCRCMP Provincial Police Force will assist the SPS. Later on November 12th, Catherine Urquhart of Global News, a sister station of CKNW, reported an internal memo from the RCMP where its Assistant Commissioner, Brian Edwards, who is also the top cop in the Surrey RCMP, mentioned that a significant work still needs to be done, such as how the RCMP will support investigative services in District 3 and those and no decision on current and future RCMP workspaces. Eleanor Sterkel, a former Surrey RCMP officer and a conservative MLA, suggested that the date should be pushed back for all involved if the SPS isn't ready by November 29th, a notion that Ian McDonald, the SPS spokesperson, rejected as he has heard no other dates for the change in command for Surrey. On November 13th, the SPS paid a tribute to the former Surrey RCMP officer, Constable Adam Oliver, who tragically died on duty on November 13th, 2012, exactly 12 years to the date, and posted that they are hiring a surgeon in the cold case investigation team. Also, it was revealed that Narinder Dosanjh, a former Vancouver Police Department sergeant who was found to have committed discreditable conduct when he shared chats between VPD officers involving a former female colleague's testimony regarding sexual assault, is now working for the Surrey Police Service, according to Daryl Greer of the Canadian Press. On November 14th, according to Voiceline, the SPS announced that Staff Sergeant Lindsay Houghton, who spent 17 years in the VPD as their first media relations officer, later tweeted by the SPS. The SPS official website elaborated more on Staff Sergeant Lindsay Hamilton's role, as he will be the first SPS media relations officer who will be responsible for providing media and the public with information related to public safety and police incidents taking place in Surrey. On November 29th, when the SPS will become Surrey's police's jurisdiction, Staff Sergeant Houghton will be responsible for communications linked to operational policing matters and the point of contact for journalists and newsrooms, according to the SPS website. Later on November 14th, the SPS surgeon Cindy Vance tweeted that the SPS will be at the Grey Cup Festival for Recruitment in downtown Vancouver. Let me look at today's events. Let's see if there is anything. The SPS asked Twitter followers to follow them on the Instagram account.
PFLAG Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Every day, PFLAG Canada volunteers are contacted by frightened kids and by angry, fearful, or ashamed parents. PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.
Thank you for listening to episode 44 of the Steve Chung Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chung. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North. Now to the last tune, B44, it's Gadfly's Sura with Softly, Lifelessly.
Thank you. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.